I got money on my bees, cause I'm gaining all these honeys. I got money is the virus, cause these niggas acting buggy. I got money.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Genuine Content Podcast with your hosts Jay and Josh. Jay, we're back here for another recording, another episode. What's going on?
Man, it's feeling good, man. The grind doesn't stop like always. I'm glad we took a little break because, man, we went, 3 days straight recording. Now we took about a week, but now we're back at it. Had some time to refresh, catch some comedy specials, been on my music game lately. I mean, I know we both watched the Chris Rock thing, man. Tell me what you think about that.
That Chris Rock special was raw and uncut stuff, man. Like, he came for Will Smith at the end, like, no tomorrow, man. I think I heard like 25 B words, and I was here for every single one. That was a slaughter.
Man, I didn't know he was coming with a special, and then I just turned it on last night, and I was like, oh, Chris Rock. Man, I'm listening the whole time, like, waiting. I'm like, you got to talk about Will Smith at some point. He kept teasing it. And I looked, I was like, man, there's only like 9 minutes left. And boy, it was 9 minutes of stuff. I was like, oh, tell me how you feel, man. I'm like, so that's how you really feel about Will and Jada.
I'm saying, man. I mean, he bided his time, right? And then struck when the iron was hot. Like, he was letting Will and Jada kind of do whatever they needed to do, play the victim, go on all these interviews and whatnot, speak on all their own dirty laundry all the time, and Chris Rock was just chilling.
And you know, it's funny, like, this is unreleased, right? Like, we recorded our third episode, which is, it hasn't released yet, or it's going to release in a few days while we're, from this recording. And a lot of things he talked about, like we spoke about on episode 3. So I'm like, man, it's funny how things kind of like come in full circles in regards to that, like regards to like cancel culture. And I think what he said it best, like selective outrage. That's like perfect. I was like, man, if we would have came out before that special, like if we recorded before that special came out, like that would have been a good title, a good way kind of to sum up everything with cancel culture. Like selective outrage is perfectly said. And even then, like I was watching the Gabriel Iglesias special, Stadium Fluffy. It's on Netflix as well. I was watching it right before we recorded. And again, cancel culture and people try to cancel them for something I brought up, like with Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, man, it's just funny how we spoke about something and like everything's kind of coming full circle.
Yeah. Best, most appropriate title for this whole era we're in, right? Selective outrage. It's like you don't know where to direct it, or someone that you feel powerless to impact or go after made you hot, and you displaced your anger and your outrage towards somebody else who is minding their own business, has done nothing to you, right? This is textbook situation, especially that slap in the face that Chris Rock took. And you said he ate it like Pacquiao.
Yo, when he said that, again, I'm a boxing guy, right? So like I was dying at that part because I fully imagine like Pacquiao getting like knocked out against, yeah, like I think it was the Marquez fight, and I was like, oh my god, like I, like the mummies of Pacquiao, boom, the flash went in my face. I was like, oh, I remember.
I was rolling on the floor. I was knocked out myself. Oh man, he really came with it. There's a lot of pushback on his own stand-up too from like all different groups. It's some crazy stuff, man. I mean, you can't please everybody. I guess that's just kind of the moral of the story with it, right?
It's a moral of, I think it's a moral of comedy, but that's the moral of life.
Yeah.
You know, somehow, some way, someone's not going to like what you said and you're canceled from maybe a small group of people, large group, whatever. It's just, you can't please anyone. You know, just, all we can say is, you know, as long as what you believe in is not hateful or you're spewing hate to others, like, your opinion is your opinion.
Yeah, I think that's an apt way to put it.
But I mean, besides that, I know we've both been listening to before we really get into this episode. But man, that Don Toliver album, woo!
We needed some music heat, and we got it. We needed some music fire, man, and he came correct. Brought Biebs back.
Yo, that song Private Landing, if anyone hasn't heard it, listen to it. That's quote unquote light skin Bieb.
I'm dead on that. I see that that line everywhere on Twitter, social media. I can't stop rolling on that, man. Cause you gotta admit, Biebs has a different vibe when he's with some hip hop related, you know, music. Or when he's featured on some hip hop. I don't know if it's a code switch. I don't care really care what you call it, but
maybe he's just a talented musician. He knows, like, if it's this genre, I know how to appease the audience for this. Then, like, you know, like, cause he does pop / R&B / hip hop. He does, like, those are his three main things. So, like,
yeah.
So, like, he knows when to switch it. But, like, that verse is so smooth, and like, it's funny when you listen to it. It's like, it's a light skinned person singing that. Like, you can imagine someone light skinned singing that.
Not like August, though.
Oh, no, man, you had to squeeze that one in there. Come on, we did it. We finished Chris Rock already. Now we're gonna
just reel it back in.
We won't say that till August. I'm gonna just leave it at that.
Yo, it's not happening. Oh man, but we have a good episode for real lined up for you all. But before we get started, please like, subscribe, follow us on our social media platforms at @genuine_content for Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, Genuine Content Podcast. We had a lot of information that we want to get out to you all. Those are the ways in which we do it. So please follow everything, like everything, leave us a review on our past podcast episodes as well. We definitely want to continue to hear everybody's feedback, especially as we start putting out some more content on our social media platforms. We recently did a poll that was really good. We got some good feedback on that. I think we might want to run some stuff like that soon and continue doing so. But Jay, we got an interesting episode, and this was one that we kind of thought of pretty much on the fly, right? We just exited Black History Month. We're segueing into Women's History Month, and I'll be quite frank, that one just kind of sprung up on me. I did not know that it was Women's History Month. I was more familiar with the day. We were talking about that a little earlier, but we want to kind of give some uplift the months that we've been a part of recently and talk about those a little bit. So what you got, Jay?
Yeah, man. I'm with you. Or International Women's Day, like, I'm familiar with that, but it really didn't hit me that it was like Women's Month until, like, I'm on Disney Plus. Like, as everyone's gonna come to realize, like, I'm a huge Disney person. Like, love the classic Disney, love Marvel, Star Wars is like top tier for me. So, like, of course Disney Plus has everything for me. Like, if I can have just one streaming service, it's gonna be Disney Plus. So, like, normally I go there. I've been watching Grown-ish lately, so I go there to watch it, and then I see, like, the headline there. It's like, oh, Women's History Month. Like, oh, we're here to celebrate Women's History. I'm like, I looked, I was like, what? And I looked, I was like, we're in March? Like, I didn't, time flies. Like, I just didn't realize. I'm like, okay, they have a month. I thought they had a day. But okay, we have a month, and like, it's cool, because I clicked it, and it's like, a lot of movies with, like, female leads, or like historical movies, like Hidden Figures, one of them, I think is a really good movie, appropriate for both Black History Month and Women's History Month. Like, really good if anyone hasn't seen it. It's about the three first African-American females, like, in NASA. And you have, like, movies like Encanto or Wakanda Forever. Right. Things with female leads that, you know, you that use this month to commemorate all the greatness that women has done in history and such. So it made me want to, I guess, talk about a little bit more, because it's, again, like you said, we want to really, when the time comes for each month, like, you know, every month is something different. It's some type of new history month. Kind of want to give everyone their shine and speak a little more about it, because again, for both of us, I mean, we're not women, but we didn't even know. Like, it went from a day to a month. It's like, well, wow, really? And then we did the point of this podcast, we don't try to do research or anything, but we just for curiosity looked, and it's like, it's been a thing for at least a little minute, and it just kind of blew past us, because maybe that's how the education system works here.
Yeah, I'll be quite frank with you. There wasn't a day in school where Women's History Month was really highlighted or elevated, let alone International Women's Day, which is actually coming up in a couple of days. So it's fascinating that, you know, we have this dynamic where we have these months to commemorate, really, when you think about it, marginalized groups. And there's a great irony in that, because these things should be celebrated every day. But we're at the point where we have to have dedicated days, weeks, months to celebrate very integral parts of our history and society that have always been parts of our history and society, and not just like pieces of the puzzle, but the entire puzzle in and of itself. I don't know. I just think it's an interesting dynamic. And it just really highlights just kind of what discrepancies and what prejudices we have, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, like, when I was growing up, like, it's something I just didn't realize, like, elementary, middle, and high school. It's like, whatever you learn in school, you just kind of learn it because you have to. It's kind of like a means to an end, especially when, like, your goal is college. You just try to get there. And it wasn't until, like, I got to Florida where, like, I guess my mind really expanded. Like, that's when, like, my brain really started to mature. And I really started thinking about, like, those deep conversations. And it's not about being woke or anything, but this is where, like, my thing came with, like, I do not like Hispanic Heritage Month. I'm almost kind of against it. Same way I kind of feel about, like, Black History Month. And same way I kind of feel like about Women's History Month. It's like, it's nothing about throwing shade or anything. It's just like a month, really? And not even that, man. Like, when I think of Hispanic Heritage Month growing up, maybe I could be wrong. Spoke to other Hispanic people, and I always thought it was September, like solely September. And then maybe I realized it in college, maybe in high school. And I was like, wait, now it's the middle of September to, like, the middle of October. I'm like, we don't even get a month. Like, you kind of pushed us away from, like, a month to, like, now you get half of this, half of that for, like, whatever reason. I think it's, like, bull. Like, and I'm like, man, this is, like, again, more reasons to that. And then this is quote. I don't remember if it was last year or a couple years ago, something from Morgan Freeman. I actually have it pulled up because it's, like, such a, like, spot on a way of how I think of stuff like this, and how I guess we can discuss more about today's episode. It's about Morgan Freeman's on 60 Minutes, and it was just discussing about Black History Month. So Morgan Freeman's getting interviewed by Wallace. So Wallace goes, Black History Month, and I guess he was trying to tell him, like, one way to define Black History Month. Morgan Freeman, ridiculous. Why? You're going to relegate my history to a month? Come on. What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on, tell me. I'm Jewish. Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month? There isn't one. Why not? Do you want one? No. I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history. How are we going to get rid of racism until ? Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man, and I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a Black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. I'm not going to say, I know this white guy named Mike Wallace. Hear what I'm saying? And that was, like, the end of the snippet from that interview. So, I mean, just from that snippet, like, what do you think about what Morgan Freeman is saying, and, like, how do you feel about that in regards to, like, this whole Women's History Month and, like, kind of how I brought up about Black history and Hispanic Heritage Month?
So I think it kind of go along with what we were saying, right? it's almost insulting to relegate or only commemorate the achievements of marginalized groups, whatever groups they are, right? Black History Month on the shortest month of the year. Even though I do know the at least some of the origins are based on the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass that were in February. But still, it's the shortest month of the year. To only bring up and elevate the achievements of Black people in America that month and that month only is, I think, somewhat a slap in the face. However, I do get the necessity that I don't think Morgan Freeman kind of spoke on at this point, because what he said was in some ways idealistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, I'm no longer a Black man, you're no longer a white man, right? And have the hundreds and hundreds of years of colonization, imperialism, just wiped off the face of the earth, and no preconceived biases from that period that have transferred to this day when it comes to policies, when it comes to hiring practices, when it comes to credit topics of discussion, when it comes to financial discrepancies and discriminatory actions. Those things exist. And so because they exist, history months exist. And it's just kind of this continuum where, in an ideal world, Morgan Freeman is 1,000% right, but we do not live in an ideal world. That's kind of how I see it. But I wish it was to that point, absolutely.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, for me, I'm like totally with Morgan Freeman. For the simple fact that the only reason, like, we, like, at least that's what it seems like, the only reason we celebrate, like, Black History Month, Women's History Month, Hispanic Heritage Month is because when we learn history, elementary, middle, high school, maybe sometime in college, I think it's less in college, but in regards to the others, we only learn those histories, like, those topics in that. So February is like, okay, we're going to learn the same thing we learn every February. MLK, Malcolm X, and then maybe like the same few. We don't really dive deep into like Black history.
Yeah.
Women's history.
You're going to recite a poem or something. You're going to recite some part of I Have a Dream.
And like when I think of women's history, I want to say maybe it was, I want to say top of my head, I think it was discussed, like maybe International Women's Day was discussed, but then the only one that I could think of that was ever discussed in class was like Amelia Earhart. And she's the only one. And like, I know there's so much more in history, but we don't speak about that. And Hispanic Heritage Month, it's the same thing. It's like we wait to those months to celebrate and to speak about history. And while I'm against like the whole thing, because I'm with Morgan Freeman, I think like Black history is American history. Hispanic history is American history. Women's history is American history. It's just not in like the curriculum or anything. And while maybe if those history months still remain there just as like celebratory, that's perfectly fine. But it shouldn't just be the only outlet for me to learn history. Like, I'm Hispanic, so I have to wait to the middle of September to learn my history of what my ancestors did in this country. Like, you, like, again, you're relegating me to a month, but I have to learn about American history. So you're telling me American history is white history? So I learn. Exactly. So I'm learning. So if we're just taking away Black history, Women's history, and Hispanic Heritage Month, let's just take away those 3 months. And what's that? We have 9 months left in the year. So I'm learning 9 months of quote unquote white history. I learned more about the Civil War than I do my own history of what my people do or have done in this country. And like, we're kind of like, I remember one quote that one of my history teachers told me, and it's almost true, except for this part. History and like authors of history books always, for the most part, write about the winner's perspective. History is taught, is taught from the winner's side, except the Civil War. Except that we learn about the losing side of that way more in any other history. In school, in high school, I was an IB and I took AP classes, and there is a world history class. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, there's not a dedicated like Black history class or Hispanic history class. And I think one of my classes my junior year was like History of the Americas, where you learn about North, South, Central America. And man, I think I'm looking back in the curriculum, I learned nothing in regards to Central and South America. Maybe Mexico, which is what, North America.
Sheesh. To your point, I mean, that's spot on, right? The perspective that history is written from is always from the ones who want to tell it a certain way, right? You don't have all perspectives kind of coming together when you're writing these books or telling it really like it was, right? For me, that word history, especially from like a public health perspective, even a policy perspective, is a little bit iffy, because I've seen that word history in, let's say, for instance, like Overtown in Miami, right? Like now it's called the historic Overtown, and that represents a once thriving city, heavily diverse, mostly Black, that was run down by policies and atrocities from a policy standpoint, ran highways through the city, displaced many of the residents, mass gentrification, and you're left with an historic Overtown that has a plaque of maybe one paragraph of history related to it and none of the thriving elements that it used to be. And shoot, you even have gentrification in that area right now. But often it's regarded as one of Miami's, I guess, iffy places to be, if you will.
You're saying it very nicely, man. It's sketch.
Well, I've been to like I've been to the music festival there. Such a vibe, right? Great. But yeah, it's run down. It really is.
Yeah, if you're from Miami, you're from South Florida, you know Overtown. Like it's like it has such a bad like connotation to it. Like I remember this was like it was in college. My wife, she was my girlfriend at the time. Spring break, she went to Juve. Juve, for people who don't know, is a Caribbean party. They throw paint at you, outdoor party. And she went with a friend, and I was like, oh, that's what's up. Where is it? She's like, oh, yeah, we're almost there. It's at Overtown. I was like, you better turn around. You're going to Overtown at night? And I was like, nah, like, it's Overtown. It's like there's certain places. It's like it's Overtown. There's like Liberty City, because in Liberty City you have the pork and beans. Like you're just there's certain projects, certain hoods, and like you just have bad rap. And like you said, it goes to like a public health thing where probably wasn't like this in the 60s and 70s here. And like if you want to like I know it's not historic or anything, but if you watch Scarface and you see like that one scene when like him and his boy came down and they're like in the tents and stuff, like that's kind of where Overtown is, and it looks pretty decent there a little bit. And then you go into like 90s and 2000 and it's like, oh no, it's not like that anymore. It's bad.
Yeah, you see the progressive decline of the area, right? That's history. That's true history if you ask me. But
and someone from Miami, why haven't I learned the history of why is Overtown the historic district? Why is it that? I'm born and raised in Miami, we never learned that. We just learned the basic thing about like whatever respective history month it is.
Yeah, so this was something I learned working in public health and being out in communities, right? Like as soon as a neighborhood or a town is marked for the historic tag, that community is about to go away. It's about to be gone. It is almost a rinse and repeat move across the country. My boss worked a lot in, actually he grew up in New York, and they had that stuff all over New York. It's just rinse and repeat strategy. It's very, so whenever I see like the historic whatever, right, I always think of something different. I was like, ah, well, I can guarantee you that this was a once vibrant area, that this place had a lot going for it, and then something happened, and now it doesn't.
Well, Overtown's going to have something nice and vibrant about it soon, if what policies told us is, like, you know, they're going to gentrify it. If exactly. That holds true.
Exactly.
But, like, in regards to, like, this, like, against, like, we both have an issue with the whole history months such, like, what do you think can or needs to be done? Because, like, and I started to feel this way since college, and, like, it just bothers me. And, like, I have a black niece, like, she's half black or half Jamaican, and it's like, man, like, I don't want her just to learn about her history just 1 month. I want her to learn it throughout the year. Like, I have a daughter coming soon, and I want her to learn Hispanic heritage all the time. Like, I don't want to just stop there. And I love where we get the spotlight, yes, but the spotlight is almost, to me, a slap in my face. Because, yeah, I'm going to spotlight you and teach you something for a month, half a month, whatever. They do Hispanic Heritage Month, or for Black History Month, you get a month. But again, slap in my face. So it's like, what needs to be done to, like, start getting this bad taste out of my mouth?
Jay, that's a very difficult question to answer. And I say that because of, I get your point that in an ideal world where things are truly equitable, history months aren't needed. Right. But I mean, I'll just be quite frank with you. We've just seen African-American history get wiped out of classrooms. So I would almost argue that I need 6 months of Black History Month, if you get my drift, because at least give me a whole semester. Give me a half a year.
Are you talking about the whole thing that's going on in Florida?
Absolutely. So if Black history is getting taken away from schools, then Black History Month is the only month you're going to have to know or recognize anything.
I mean, yeah, we spend so much time thinking about that. We spent a whole month in November talking about Thanksgiving. We learned the history of Thanksgiving, the lie of Thanksgiving. We learned a whole month about that. And I could be learning, or like, kids could be learning real history. Like, we learned about Christopher Columbus. Think about that. This Christopher Columbus Day, or what was previously known as Christopher Columbus Day, but we learned about that because that was history. That's American history. How is that history when, like, he's literally a colonizer?
And he was all the other stuff.
He was lost. And he was lost and found America, and he didn't even find America. He thought he found India. That's why he called them the Indians. And he's like, oh, well, we're going to learn that. That's part of the curriculum. That's history. And it sucks because, like, if you really truly want to know your own history in an educated forum, educated setting, anything like that, it's almost, you will have to go to college and pray to God that your college has that course.
Yeah.
Like, Florida had those courses.
It might not have been moving forward either.
Well, when we were there, Florida had those courses. And, you know, but those are electives. And I'm starting to, like, there's no way to make it mandatory. But I wish there was some way, like, well, I guess it is kind of mandatory. Like, you do have to take history. But, like, I didn't take history in college because I had the AP credits. But I probably would have taken Hispanic history. But, like, if you go to HBCU, it's mandatory to take African-American history. I know that because my brother went to FAMU. He told me that. And then we have a good friend, Andre, went to FLOMO. Mm-hmm. Totally same thing. So it's like, that's really good. It's like, yeah, it's like, it sucks because like the only reason, like in my opinion, the only reason they're being forced to learn that because they didn't learn that. Or they think that you didn't learn that out of 12 years of school.
Yeah.
A lot of us don't know our own history. And that's the school system's fault.
After you say that, I almost think the best solution is to, you have to find a way to integrate all of these forms of history properly into the curriculum. A slim chance of that happening, right?
There has to be a way. Like why do I got, if I'm starting school in August or September, and I'm like, why do I gotta wait till February to learn about Black History Month? Or it's Hispanic Heritage Month, and I'm learning, and the month's over, and I'm like, man, we just barely scratched the surface of what Hispanics did in this country. But it's not important. You're basically telling me it's not important anymore because we gotta learn about other histories. Like, to me, American history, like, truly American history is white history. And I think that's why I hated history so much. It's funny, like, people wouldn't realize this, and I wouldn't call myself a history buff, but, like, I truly enjoyed history. I thought history was really entertaining. Like, I remember, like, senior year, and people who's known me for years, like, when I was in school, I was the lazy person. I was in the back, sleeping, didn't care. I got to Florida, senioritis. But man, you put in like the dictators, man. You talked about like Lenin, Stalin, Castro, like who's the guy from Italy? Mussolini. I don't know if you remember. Mussolini. Like we talked about that, boom, like eyes wide open because it was interesting stuff. But when it came to American history, I'm just like, oh my God, this is like boring, right?
It's kind of the same thing over and over and over again, right?
It was. I wasn't learning anything. I wasn't learning nothing. Like, nothing. Nothing was. It was, to quote good old governor, it lacked educational value, in my opinion. Like, I didn't learn anything, man. Like, I just, like, half of us didn't. I'm in a class that's majority was minorities. There was a lot of Blacks, a lot of Hispanics. And we're learning history that's not ours. And I went to a lot of Black schools, and I was like, I went to Black schools my whole life. And it was like, Blacks and Hispanics were the majority in every school I went to, and it's like, we just never learned our own history. So then I'm thinking about that, and now I'm thinking about like the rise of like women history now, like you had International Women's Day and then women's history. And then like, you know, the feminist movement is rising and such. And like, I gotta think that they're feeling exactly the same way I feel, but about women's history. Like I've seen it for the years. They go really hard for like International Women's Day, which is fantastic. I mean, maybe they're doing that because this is the only time they can really learn and celebrate and embrace their own history and culture.
Yeah, it's a disappointing phenomenon. I truly think so. And knowledge has always been power, at least in my personal opinion. And so the withholding of history really symbolizes that. The withholding of information to not just necessarily know yourself, but your ancestry, the accomplishments that people that look like you have been able to accomplish with often less or no resources at all, had to pave their own way. And despite all these barriers, created something not just for Black people, not just for Hispanic people, not just for women, usually for everyone. And so
I mean, I got a good question for you, but I'll let you go. I just thought of it right now.
So to me, it doesn't make sense intuitively to withhold that type of history when it's always been beneficial to everyone.
Exactly. I mean, that's spot on. Now, I just thought of this right now. Like, you know how, like, lately, like, maybe in the past few years, maybe 10 years, that, like, a lot of people have the, or kids are having problem with, like, identifying? Like, just how to identify themselves, or how to, like, where do they put themselves in whatever category and such? You think that has something to do with the lack of history they're learning of whatever culture they're part of?
That's a very interesting point.
Right? Like, it literally popped up, and I was like, there's like a crisis going on there. And how can you identify as Black, Hispanic, women, or pan-Asian, or like Hawaiian, or whatever? Like, I'm just throwing out different groups. Well, this is your identity, but you never learn it. And you have to hope, like, maybe your family can teach you, which can be difficult, or you do your own research, and I mean, can be tough too, because then you're teaching yourself instead of getting proper education on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely with you on that front. When it comes to identity, though, I definitely see your point that could be maybe like a correlation. I don't know to what extent it could be or would be, but I definitely think that there is definitely more likelihood of people being more self-aware of who they are and what they are capable of with more knowledge of history, their own history, whatever that history is, because that history is everyone's history.
And this is why we always say representation matters. It truly matters. I mean, people think it's not a big deal when you like have like a Black Spider-Man. When you have Miles Morales, who's both half Black, half Puerto Rican and white. You're just trying to add color to some like a white character. It's like, no, because it's more to it. Like, I thought it was so cool when you like, he's confused, but he's learning history from both sides. His dad's Black. He's learning something, you know, Black history, but his mom's Puerto Rican. He's learning Hispanic history. And he embraced his identity because he learned it. You need to hope that maybe you have a strong background, like in whether your family or culture or whatever. Maybe you live in a community that can educate you. But like, for example, like he lived in a community and he learned that, but I didn't. So, for like, you know, for me, I didn't grow up in a Hispanic neighborhood. Predominantly Haitian. I went to schools where it wasn't like it's predominantly Haitian. I just grew up in Haitian neighborhoods, and I didn't have anyone to teach me Hispanic heritage. Like, I kind of had to seek that myself. I didn't have it. My parents being like from Nicaragua, so like they came here. I'm first generation. Or second generation, I don't know. I actually took a class last week in regards to like immigration and such. And I always thought I was first generation, but I'm now considered second generation. I'm still confused at that, but whatever. I was born here. I'm the first one in my family, like born here.
Yeah.
And man, I didn't learn my Hispanic heritage, and I had to seek that myself. And then like this kind of goes back to the whole thing where I don't like Hispanic heritage like as a month and stuff, because like when it was that month, I'm the token Hispanic kid. Oh, it's Hispanic Heritage Month. We're going to have this one Hispanic boy come here and read out a random history. And I had to learn it and like basically like recite like a 5-10 minute history, whatever they gave me, to teach the whole, whatever, second, third, fourth grade. That is how I gave Hispanic heritage to people. Not Jeez. That I learned it in class. I didn't even learn it in class. Like, it was like, oh, this, I can't believe I remember this, but it was like, we're going to learn about this famous baseball player. Like, out of all the Hispanic heritage, all the Hispanic history that happened here, you're going to teach me about freaking baseball? Like, I know my people is more than just sports. But
yeah,
I had
disrespectful.
to. Right, like...
That's disrespectful as hell.
Whether it was, I've had whatever, multiple teachers, white, black, Hispanic, whatever. I don't even know if it was like anything to do with that or if that was just school curriculum, but I had to like teach people in my grade. It wasn't even my class. It was like, oh, the whole third grade. I'm the only Hispanic boy in my class. I'm going to teach you all guys this. It's like, that's a slap in my face. Like, it pisses me off not just even thinking about it.
Yeah, I can peep that energy a little bit, man. But I mean, that's unfortunately how we grew up, or at least how curriculum was taught, organized, and that's what representation probably quote unquote looked like back then. But it was really kind of just a sham of in and of itself. And I mean, for me personally, I went to a predominantly white school, one school, my entire upbringing, just from first to 12th grade, went to a Christian school. The running joke was you can count the number of minorities in the entire school in the palm of your hand. That was literally the joke. And so whether I looked to my left, right, forward, backwards, I was the only person who looked like me in that grade, in that classroom, always. One thing that I will say is that I am truly blessed to have parents like mine who wanted me to be an independent thinker and, you know, read different books of history. And so one of the first books that I read as like a young kid was like a biography on George Washington Carver. And many people know him for making products based on peanuts, but he did so much more than that. Yeah, he did so much more than that. Like, it's ridiculous. And I'll save history lessons for another time. But I always found history fascinating, similar to you in the sense that, yes, it was dry, it was dull, but it was a very interesting topic. If it was fresh, if it was new, if it kept you going. But after a while, you just get rehashed the same stuff, the same stories, doing the same, you know, fifth grade sing-alongs, right? That nobody wants to be at. But that's educational value for you.
I already know what they're going to learn in Black History Month already. And I haven't been in like the education system like that in years, right? And I can tell you exactly what they're going to learn about.
Spit it.
It's just funny, man. But like, I wonder if one way they can kind of change it, instead of like these months things, or what about time periods? Like, this is what happened in the 1700s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. Like, we learned that in world history, the different time periods and how like Russia was dominant at this time, or like Italy was dominant, or like the Industrial Revolution. Like, you learn time periods in regards to world history, but why don't we learn time periods in American history? That's like, I feel like one way to kind of alleviate the issue of just one month we're going to learn this. And then it's like, no, around this time, George Washington Carver did this in history or whatever, or Amelia Earhart did this in history. They became the first in whatever respective field they were in. And instead of just waiting for a particular month, we just learn history as it goes.
I definitely see your point there. Maybe like each year, maybe each grade kind of emphasizes a particular time block and kind of focuses on it. The only thing that I would push back on is that if you're going to just talk about American history, well, I mean, of course, you're just going to get a lot of slavery, right, when it comes to Black history, if you just focus on the 1600s. So what's in it for me hearing about the different ways in which I was a slave?
Yeah. I wish we could remove Christopher Columbus from the curriculum.
Cancel him. Let's go.
Hey, what is the statute of limitations for
that? Let's cancel that.
It's considered Christopher Columbus / Indigenous People Day. How is he not canceled? Straight up colonizer. Like the Pilgrims, like terrible history.
Because it's American history, Jay. It's American history.
We glorify them. But we glorify that. We learn so much about, like, you know, when you think about the Civil War and such, it's like, there's the North and the South. And I feel like maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. Did I learn or did we learn more about the South than the North?
Do you know how glorified Stonewall Jackson is? Like, he's seen as a fearless leader. Like, almost someone you should look up to. Died in the war, by the way. Mid-30s. Not the life I want. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, these icons, whether you're in the Union or the Confederate, are definitely amplified. Absolutely. Doesn't matter which side of the spectrum it was. But we could talk about this for days.
And you know what's funny, Josh?
We really didn't even think we were going to do something like this.
That's what I'm saying. Remember when we spoke, it was like, man, you know what? This seemed like not an easy topic. Probably not going to be too much. And boom.
Just took off.
We got a lot to talk about. And man, we brought up stuff I didn't think we was going to even bring up. It's the passion's there, man. And people are going to be surprised in the different passions we have, because it's the running joke is this is a different side of us. Like, this is the side that a lot of people don't know of us. Unless, like, what, maybe our significant others, but that's probably just it.
Yeah, I mean, we're dudes. We just like to have fun, enjoy life and stuff. But enjoying life has always been, you know, getting into these discussions where you kind of grow as people. And I think this is just one more example of that, right? And we have plenty more to go in future episodes. But, you know, I think this is a good time as ever to start wrapping up. To all the people who are listening to this episode, whatever your thoughts are as far as history months, heritage months, history weeks, important days, let us know what your thoughts are on it, right? Where it is in society right now. Should it stay? Should it go? Do we need him? Should we have them? Any option is up for the debate at this point. Definitely willing to hear your thoughts and definitely speak on them more. But at the same time, this is all for today's content, right? So please like, subscribe. Once again, review, tell us what you think of this episode and past episodes. This is Genuine Content with Jay and Josh. Peace out.
Peace.